Hello, and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website's Real Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I'll eat all the fucking sugar I want, and I don't give a shit how many lies I have to tell in order to do it. And with me, I have...
I keep telling you beams are bad, and now they're evolving into the third dimension.
And...
Oh, great, there's a focal series of SAO coming. Oh, damn, a year's worth.
You know, it's already bad enough that we had to deal with, like, a fucking year of Black Clover and more. But you know what, screw it. I'm not even going to watch this on streaming, because it's bad enough that it's probably going to come to Toonami soon. So I only want to have to sit through a year's worth of SAO exactly one time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, I know I'm not going to watch it, but now that I know it's this long, it's like, no, definitely watching that, but I know
it's stupid.
Yeah, but I know they're coming sooner or later because everybody loves to talk about the shit, even if, well, the insane motherfuckers will, but I don't know. I don't know. It's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, that's my dumbass fault. Fool me three times, I ain't that stupid.
Spoiler alert, half of the series will be exposition scenes in cafes. Because it always is.
Where's Sam's Coon at?
Anyway, episode 97. So, how's everything going with all y'all lately?
Well, my back's kind of messed up. It feels like it's on fire, but it's for a good reason. I'm back to working again.
Woo!
Yay!
Yes, now I can make that money and pay my bills and, you know, do all that other adulting stuff before I hunker down in December and smash it up with everybody.
Yeah, you could be making that paper, boy.
Yeah. And I'm actually getting paid more money and doing less work than before. So, win-win.
Yeah. Now the only thing I have to worry about is, when is Best Buy actually going to have the fucking thing in stock? I keep trying to get the fucking Ultimate Special Edition thing and they won't stock it. Why?
Nintendo having stocking problems? The heck you say?
Yeah, but it's like only Best Buy, though. Like, everyone else seems to have it just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of hunkering down, guess what's coming later this week to North Carolina?
Let me guess. Florence, no machine?
Yeah. And granted, I'm not in the direct path of the storm. I'm nowhere close to Wilmington or Raleigh, but it's still gonna be
damn
bad enough to where we're gonna get a lot of wind and buckets of rain. So, it's gonna be a fun week. I can already tell.
Ooh, ooh, boy.
Yeah, gonna be super fun having to drive to work with all the rain and the wind and crap.
Ouch. So, anyway, what about you, Mark?
Let's see. Now, I'm hoping, what's going to affect my negative words? Because I ain't looked at shit yet. And now I'm thinking, well, I ain't looked at that shit yet, but I ain't got nothing else. There you go.
All right, then. As for me, well, a few things. Got out to the movies, saw Searching, which was actually really fucking good, by the way. Very excellently well done. Also, there was like a short film that played in front of that movie that was introduced by the director that apparently starred the Laser Collection guy, which is really weird seeing that dude on the big screen. You think anybody else in the theater knew? I genuinely wonder. I also had a show that I played this past weekend. You know, it was pretty... We actually got there at a pretty good time. Like, we got to play at, like, 11, which was, like, you know, usually the best time to play for these kinds of local shows and stuff. So, you know, good for us. And, you know, I even got to... We even had some drink tickets on hand, so I could get myself some free drinks, which I never get to do with these shows. And I feel like I should... You know what? I should treat myself more with drinks after shows, man. I just gotta do it more, man.
Treat yourself, man.
Anything else? I'm trying to think. Not really much, other than playing through some Dragon Ball FighterZ. And plus, I had some spare money lying around, so I got that old Wii compilation for, you know, Kirby and shit. And yes, it's because I saw it in one of those Scott the Waz videos. Bite me.
Well, you know, he is number one best Scott named Scott.
Yes, yes, he is. But, I mean, you know, I got it on, like, most of the places I saw listed it for, like, 80, and I got, like, the complete package, like, even with, like, that slipcover box thing for, like, 50. So, you know, best deal I found on the internets.
That is a good deal, yes.
Thank God for eBay. Yeah, that's basically about it for me. So now it's time, as always, to jump into the first part of this here podcast, which is, of course, new song discussions. And thankfully, we got, like, a decent crop of stuff this time. And, of course, as always, there will be a link down in the description so you can follow along with what we're talking about so you're not lost and confused. So, first off, let's start right at the top with everyone's favorite, the young Sinatra himself, Logic, who is apparently dropping a new project at the end of this month, September 28th to be precise, called Young Sinatra 4. And, woo! Yeah! Right. And, so I think he might have released... Like, I'm not sure if that Ryan Tedder collaboration is going to be on this, and I think there might have been a song between that and this one that we missed, but the song we're talking about here is probably going to appear on that album. It's called Everybody Dies. Very cheery from the guy who, you know, had that big hit single from last year. And, you know, the weird thing is, like, I know this is technically a studio album from what the advertisers make it sound like, but the actual track itself sounds more like mixtape Logic than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you
it
know,
definitely does.
You know, it's got that very... Most of the lyrics are basically just him bragging about how influential, prominent, and awesome he is, about his, you know, versatility across, like, you know, the normal rap, the inspirational pop stuff, the trap shit, the young Sinatra stuff. You know, it's pretty, you know, if you're into brag rap shit, it's up your alley. Only thing that kind of bugs me, it kind of feels like his actual voice is, like, buried a little low in the mix. Like, you can very clearly hear, like, the beat overtaking him when he should be, like, just on top of the beat fucking murdering that shit. I mean, it's called Everybody Dies. Come on, man. You gotta go with that flow, man.
Yeah.
So, this track is... It's kinda alright. Like, I did like that one line, the one bar you talk about. Talk about we blessed Trump for, you know, similar remarks for shithole countries at the Grammys where we win goals, bitch sipping scotch for Chappelle after the Grammys, saying the countries with shit wasn't shitholes, they probably want to ban me because I say the shit that others won't, probably can't stand me. Other rappers claim to hate me, but they stand me. I say these rappers couldn't hate me, but they motherfucking stand me. Okay, and that'd be kind of true because Logic, like, again, like, Logic is some, I think it's now, I think, as now he's going to be more mainstream, more large. It's like, to it be something to eat or something like him, something like blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's just kind of cool. I mean, I like it better than the last one that we talked about. But yeah, it's the right track. Although I wonder how Young Sinatra 4 turned out to be.
Well, crossing my fingers, it's going to be quality. But this definitely does sound a lot like mixtape Logic. Like, it sounds like a cut that we would have heard on the Bobby Tarantino tape from earlier this year, but obviously written a little bit later.
Obviously,
still very good. This isn't like the pop single kind of Logic stuff. This is definitely, you know, Bobby Tarantino, Young Sinatra mixtape Logic with some teeth to it, and yeah, strong bars to it all over.
But is it the best teeth in the game though? Really, no one, nothing. You people
time
suck.
And place, Rob. Time and place.
You literally set me up for a Fantano reference and you said nothing. I see how it is. Fucking leave me hanging, bastards. Anyway, let's move on from that to some crossover thrash. Courtesy of the guys in Iron Reagan, who are dropping a little EP on October 12th called Dark Days Ahead. To which I say, ahead? They're already here! Everything sucks. But this song does not. This track here, Patronizer, it's about what you expect by them from this point. You know, that kind of driving, stomping beats with the chunky riffs, bouncing back and forth between that and the fucking fast, ripping thrash riffs and gnarly D beats. The vocal delivery sounds a bit different, though, from what I usually expect from Iron Reagan. Like, this one actually sounds like it's a bit a little bit deeper in tone. Like, it almost kind of sounds like he's doing an impersonation of Mike from Suicidal Tendencies, in a sense. Which, you know, makes sense. I mean, they are the patron saints of crossover thrash, so... I mean, you know, if you're gonna work a reference in there, might not reference the best. But, you know, fun little jam. Could be a nice little entertaining treat of an EP.
Mm-hmm. There is some solid thrash to this that makes you want to, you know, smash some heads in and wave your fists around. It's excellent. And it's got me wanting more.
Well, you know, they got quite a few albums, EPs, and splits floating around there, so there you go. But now, moving on to something that makes me want significantly less, we are talking about Greta Van Fleet once again. Led Zeppelin's Echo Fighters. Yes, we actually now have the details of their upcoming debut album. Yes, this band has drummed up this much hype without even having a proper debut out yet. But yes, October 19th, we can expect Anthem of the Peaceful Army. And we have the latest single from the album, Watching Over, which, instead of a gnarly, funky Led Zeppelin ripoff, this one is more of a rock ballad Led Zeppelin ripoff. Although, maybe Led Zeppelin is the wrong choice here, because, to be completely honest, when I heard, like, the melodies of, like, the clean guitar parts, for some reason, what my mind first jumped to was House of the Rising Sun by Animals. And I'm like, oh, great, we're ripping those guys off, too? And, you know, and, you know, it sounds like, look, you know the drill by this point. This is just, like, what is their deal? Why do people like these guys? Would just blag. Blag, I say, blag.
Yeah, I tried to listen to this, and I only wrote this down. We get it. You really like Led Zeppelin. I've been trying to be fair and give these guys the benefit of the doubt, but yeah, there's just nothing to this. Nothing at all. I got nothing. Just come and go, please.
Just, you know, we can always cross our fingers. Maybe they'll disappear after two albums.
It didn't come back.
But anyway, let's move on to this thing that Alex posted here that has to at least have some more of an inspired spark. Anything got to be better than Greta Van Fleet at this point, so go ahead.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking more solo guitar work. I know not everyone's cup of tea, but this guy is good. Guitarist extraordinaire Andy James is back with a new album coming out, Arrival, due on October 19th, and we have the first track from that album, Asylum, with a very interesting video to it, which is kind of, well, I'll say it like this. This is more of the mental aspect of torture that you would compare to, say, the latest Rob Scallon and Sarah Longfield video that came out today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Fantana was in that, too.
Oh.
Wait, he was?
He was the voice of the judge in the background, apparently.
Okay.
But back to the song here. Andy James. He's got some shreddery and wankery in his repertoire, but he knows how to structure a great metal song like he's a one-man band, because he is. And he knows how to add in some soulful flavor to his soloing skills. Now, I've been following this guy for a long while, since his first big solo album came out in 2012. The EP came out in 2014. He has yet to let me down. I'm glad he's coming back with a new album after Exodus from last year. That album missed my top 10 of the year due to just having too many albums to put on there. But this time around, I think he might make the cut. This track is good, and there's got some teeth to it, along with some soulful and very, flavorful soloing.
Ah, flavorful. That means tasty, I think.
Delicious.
Wait, what the hell? I was trying to remember what I was going to say on this, and then my brain got stuck. Here it is. Like, okay, so I don't know shit about Andy James at all, but I do, listening to this track, had a bit of a soft spot for it. It kind of reminded me of, like, a pretty good Symphony X instrumental, and, yeah, my power metal phase in high school, you know. If it sounds like Symphony X, I gotta give it some level of props, obviously. But that is just me. But now let's move on from all the rock and metal shit to good old Dawn, who
apparently,
quite the busy gal at the moment. You know, she's playing the Adult Swim Festival. She's apparently in the middle of a reunion tour with the other members of Danity Kane.
Ooh.
I didn't know that. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
And, yeah, now she's got, like, a new album, apparently, that she's preparing for 2019. So we have a little bit of a peek of that album with the track Jealousy. Want to talk a bit about this one, Mark?
Okay, like, okay, this song is... Okay, this song is where it's like a, you know, so like a relationship type of song. It's like first off, it's her like her ex, I think, broke with his girlfriend, she might try to go over her Instagram page, like try to act petty and shit, like so like that type of relationship type song, but more, you know, but more like Dawn, like that type of shit. At least what I get from it.
Yeah, it's definitely like this. There's almost this kind of very snarky tone to the lyrics overall, as she's confronting like the ex of an ex, you know, that whole sort of thing. And the actual beat almost kind of feels like it feels a bit like a more ambient Tyler the Creator joint. But that's kind of just me, though.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, who knows coming with the next album? I mean, who knew the next joint would come out? Wink, wink.
2019. But anyway, let's move on from that to a brief bit of a tale. See, back in 2013, there was a band that is still around, obviously. A band called The Ocean, or The Ocean Collective. They dropped their, I believe, 6th full-length album that year, Pelagial, and it very much became like the Rivers of Nile or Code Orange of that year. Just critically acclaimed on every single front, that one metal album that everyone was talking about, and for good reason. You know, as far as post-metal, this was like a fucking, like, crown jewel highlight of just, like, you know, crushing ambience and, like, dark atmosphere and everything. And now, 5 years later, The Ocean is back. They have announced the next album they're releasing, a double album, in fact, called Phanerozoic. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I never was the best student with this whole earth science shit. But yes, a two-part album. The first part is coming out November 2nd, subtitled Paleozoic. And we have the first single from the album, the nearly 10-minute long jam, Permian, The Great Dying. Can you tell these guys love oceanography and fossils and shit?
Fossils!
Who would have thunk? Yeah, that. And yeah, this one, you know, it's overall a pretty, like, mid-tempo kind of jam that, like, spends a lot of time kind of, like, looping and repeating these various kinds of heavy and, you know, melodic chord progressions. You know, the vocals are primarily this very, like, you know, heavy, like, you know, gravelly sort of thing. It segues back and forth between, like, the heavier parts and, like, these quiet passages that are accentuated by, like, you know, ambient synths and the grooving bass. There's also, like, when the clean vocals step in, they're very, like, densely layered, just creating, like, these, like, waves of atmosphere and everything. And especially, like, when it gets to the back half, where, like, the overall sort of crushing, like, heaviness of it really, like, you know, bears down, especially with those really, like, super sludgy, low-end, you know, guitar riffs and everything. It's just really, like, it's that perfect mix of, like, really, like, elegant and pretty, but also, like, super, you know, crushing, like, well, pretty much like the pressure of the ocean, you know, crushing you down and everything, because it does that, apparently. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Well, this is some dank fine neo prog, but I just can't help but feel like this track is a bit too repetitive with its ongoing codas and repeating sections. It kind of tuned me out a little bit hearing the same patterns, you know, over and over again. I'm curious what the rest of the album will sound like, so I'm just going to chalk this up as the outlier until the new album comes out.
Well, you say that, but see, in a couple of interview pieces, they mentioned that one of the main inspirations for the album is a philosophical concept by Friedrich Nietzsche about how time basically infinitely repeats itself. So, yeah, this might be on purpose.
Oh, good. That's just what I wanted to hear.
Well, I mean, like, in the song's defense, I feel like that suffocating atmosphere only really gets that way because of how long it just kind of, like, repeatedly vamps.
Mm.
But anyway, if you're looking for stuff that's much more concise, have I got the metal album for you. And this one being another potential metal album of the year contender from the band Cult Leader. A very fucking savage set of folks out of the great city of Salt Lake City, Utah, who, you know, broke out pretty big with their debut album Lightless Walk in 2015, which is one of my favorite albums that came out that year. Seriously, it was fucking sick. And we finally have the follow-up to that coming out November 9th called The Patient Man. And so we have the lead-off song from the album I Am Healed. And this song will do anything but heal you because it is just a relentless onslaught of everything. Pummeling D-beats and blast beats in the drums, those fucking filthy off-kilter guitar grooves that also work in those really, like, dizzying, like, just, like, almost kind of nauseating chord progressions. Like, you just feel, like, completely off balance as you're listening to it. The fucking super gravelly vocals just mixing into all that as the entire song is just, like, full, you know, force in your face. You know, back and forth between, like, more relaxed grooves and more, like, just heavy grooves just fucking hitting you. You're never given, like, a second to, like, truly relax. It's this swirl together fucking, like, just nightmare pastiche of, like, crusty, grindy goodness. It's just, if you need just pure savage, this is some pure savagery right here, man.
Yep, this is as claustrophobic as the Revolver piece made it out to be. Pretty good stuff, but not stuff I would listen to on repeat.
Fair enough. But now we got one last track to talk about here, and it's this week's entry in the Adult Swim Singles program. Wait, it's back already?
David's been
back, motherfucker.
Yeah. David's been like, yes. how many months is the last one in it? Like 2-3 months?
Yeah, I think. Shit. Like, I think it ended like midway through June, I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it ended, like, in June.
Yeah, I have to check the dates on that. I'm sure we'll get to talk about it, like, once we actually, you know, talk about it. But yeah, Adult Swim Singles back for 2018 and 2019. Another year round 52 week affair. Hoo boy.
Yay! Yes.
Stay tuned for more later.
And so, much like with last year, we kicked off with some trap rap courtesy of Zaytoven and Company. And so this year, we kick off with a rap jam courtesy of MC's Father. Now that I think about it, I think it was originally slated to be on last year's compilation, but didn't get through because reasons. And some guy called Lil House Phone.
Wow, you guys really have names. Lil House Phone!
Jeez! That's sad. It's like, what's gonna be next? Like, there's gonna be, like, a rapper that calls himself Big 3DS? Jeez,
like, Kobe.
We really gotta, like, portion out some better names for these guys. I mean, damn.
Lil Ketchup!
No, it's Lil $2 for ketchup. It's like an entry restaurant.
All right.
But yeah, these two MCs are collaborating on a jam called Fashionista to kick things off, and all I got out of this, to be honest, is that it's a song about eating ass, which is an end goal that I am completely sympathetic to, but as a song, this just kind of, I don't know, it just kind of feels like, you know, that's my big problem with, like, so much of, like, the big rap shit, like, I guess the emo rap or, like, the, you know, quiet trap rap. It's just how sleepy it is, and it's like, come on, man, give me some energy. You're rapping about eating ass. Sound at least like you're a little bit excited to do it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well,
so what's the cause? Lean or over-the-counter drugstore medication?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see for this track, which I personally like. At first, I did kind of feel the beat good to me. Like, I will say, like how things starts up with last year, this is slightly less than that, because, like, at least Beethoven track last year is like, I was feeling it, this one was like, I don't know, this is like a couple of times, and it's like, okay, it's about eating some ass, all right, it ain't Little House Phone. I can't stop getting a Little House Phone. But yeah, maybe the interesting thing about this track is you got somebody named Little House Phone. A thing that no one, well, most people still, well, not much people use it anymore. Well, I know I've got a house phone, but then again, I don't pay that bill. But anyway, yeah, the song is just very, very, very meh to me. Like, so very meh. Like I could probably this with the background, but I'm not gonna remember it in T minus whatever set minutes.
Yeah, I already forgot what song we were talking about. I just remember that I think it was rapped by a dude named Taserface. But yeah, that basically wraps up the new song discussion for this week. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we do have some rather substantial news topics to talk here, so stick around, people.
Yep.
We're back. So, to start off this news roundup, let's begin things with an album announcement. Now, normally we don't cover album announcements on their own unless there's a song to go with it, but this one has some nice details here, so we're mentioning it here. So, on November 2nd, the lads of Tenacious D will be releasing their newest album titled Post-Apocalypto. Now, what's notable about this is, obviously the fact that Foo Fighters frontman Dave Grohl will be playing drums on this album. Who, you know, there's this whole thing. They've all worked before, I believe. And on top of the actual music, apparently the duo will be releasing a 6-episode animated series on their own YouTube channel. So it's going to premiere on September 28th, and, you know, new episodes every Friday up until the actual album drops. And according to the piece here, each frame of every episode was hand-drawn by Black himself, with every character voiced by Jack Black and Kyle Gass. Also, the episodes will feature new songs from the upcoming Post-Apocalypto album, and as the episodes go up, a song from each episode will, you know, actually be released on all digital music platforms as well.
Mm-hmm. This definitely has a bit of a mid-2000s Adult Swim aesthetic to it, kind of like maybe 12-ounce Mouse. It's definitely very crude, but it kind of works to its advantage because it's Tenacious D, and you know they're fucking with you every time they do just
about
anything.
That is true. That is true.
So yeah, this looks to be a pretty interesting venture. And finally, animation on YouTube worth supporting. None of that friggin' terrible 3D CGI meme stuff. You know what it is.
Do 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 Johnny. Do 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 Johnny.
Yeah. I never watched that.
I found some funny memes about it. And as for what the series is actually about, again, another quote from a press release. Post-Apocalypto finds Tenacious D thrust into a world of complete and utter destruction following the drop of an atomic bomb. Surviving the attack in classic cinematic fashion, a good old imperishable 1950s refrigerator, the duo quickly learns that new forms of evil have spawned from the blast. One thing becomes apparent, for humanity to prevail, Tenacious D must save the world. Oh, so this is the plot of Fallout 76. Good to know that at least has a good single-player campaign. Now, you know, with that said, let's move on to our next topic here. And this one is actually crossover territory. It hits that exact sweet spot of Decibel Boost and Podcast ONA. So, let's talk about the a film distributor for a bit, G Kids, who, you know, are mainly known for distributing a lot of, like, lesser-known animated stuff here in the States, and have been having a pretty good run in 2018, especially with distributing a lot of Science Saru and Masaki Uwasa works, like Mind Game, Lou Over the Wall, and The Night is Short, Walk on Girl, which I didn't get to see those last two. But they're clearly not done yet, as they've announced their latest acquisition that they're bringing to U.S. cinemas, an animated project from Studio 4 Degrees Celsius, the animators behind Mind Game, called Motherfuckers, or as it's being localized here, MFKZ, an adaptation of a French comic series by Yame Run Renard. I'm probably pronouncing that horribly. Now, as for the actual premise of the film, again, to borrow a quote here from the Crunchyroll article, Motherfuckers centers on young Angelino and his skull and flame pal Vince, who live in a seedy tenement in an LA-inspired dystopian metropolis, a burnout gang and cockroach-hen neo-urban hell. Following a scooter accident, Angelino starts experiencing migraines, strange hallucinations, and fits of rage-inspired superpowers as he slowly awakens to the truth of his origins. He is half-human and half-macho, a supernatural alien race that is bent on taking over the planet. But are old women coming? That is the answer that we need.
Very nice. I actually found a full cast list. Mind if I run off some names?
Sure, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, so in our leading role of Vince, which if you've seen the teaser trailer in the up on YouTube and in the Crunchyroll page, Vince is played by none other than Vince Staples.
I knew that was him.
Yes!
Yeah. Yep. He is our lead character. And rounding out this cast, we have quite a bit of names here. We have Michael Chiklis from The Shield, Giancarlo Esposito from Breaking Bad,
Gustavo Fring, motherfuckers.
Jose Gutierrez from The Book of Life.
The director of that movie and the creator of Nickelodeon's El Tigre.
Ah, yes.
I remember that show.
Dasha Polanco from Orange is the New Black.
I'm trying to remember who she plays on Orange is the New Black, and I am drawing a complete blank. Mm.
Yeah. We also have Danny Trejo from Machete.
And many other things, because Danny Trejo is awesome.
Yes. And we also have making his latest anime venture, the RZA.
Wu-Tang!
Apparently he was an Afro Samurai, which I did not watch.
Yeah, he was credited for the soundtrack to Afro Samurai, which is a pretty good soundtrack.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah, I'll duck the fuck out of that.
Yeah, so this is a bit of an interesting cast, considering, you know, it's an anime movie based off of a French comic, dubbed into English by, you know, not your typical anime voice cast. We have star power here. We have Vince Staples as the lead.
And again, we got Gustavo Fring here, man. I should probably put on my Los Pollos Hermanos apron right now so he doesn't kill me. And again, the fact that they have the freaking director of The Book of Life and El Tigre as a voice in this, I didn't think he would be interested. Or, you know, maybe he would be, you know, urban, you know, very stylish setting. Maybe kind of his thing, secretly. Who knows? But, anyway, as for the... There's also scheduled screening, so the big one is happening on Thursday, October 11th, followed by an encore screening on Tuesday, October 16th, and I might actually be able to attend this. Also, apparently in some pockets of the States, there'll be a limited release on October 12th, so if you're one of those lucky bastards that lives in places that have theaters that stock these kinds of movies, there you go. And yeah, this teaser, this shit looks nuts.
Yes, it does. I want to see it, and I know he's going to play in my city because my city sucks.
Well, look, clearly what you need to do is organize, like, a mass weeaboo, you know, gathering in, you know, your home state and just make it happen, man.
Well, to consider, this is through G-Kids, and they're pretty tight with Verve, so there's a good chance it might show up there a few months down the line.
That's true.
So, yeah, Verb, or people from that, if you're listening, can you add, when this officially comes, I don't know, far in the, can you add that in your roster, please?
Yeah. Put more Keaton and Kel up on there. It's good.
I hope we get to hear Vince spit some bars in this. Otherwise, what's the point? Anyway, let's move on to... Actually, before we move on to our next topic here, let me just check something really quick. Nope, I'm still not over the fact that Adventure Time has ended.
Come along with me.
You're not helping, Alex.
I'm not trying to help.
Of course you're not. That's why I'm telling you, you're not helping.
I'm just trying to set the mood.
But yes, obviously we're not the only ones that can't get over this, as there are a lot of people that are very upset about this. And, you know, of course, there's companies trying to monetize on our sadness. As I'm sure you all know, the final seasons, 8, 9, and 10, are now available on DVD. No Blu-ray. Sad. And, interestingly, Cartoon Network has partnered with Mondo, you know, some website that deals in, you know, monetizing, you know, your fucking nerd cred and shit or whatever. Release
a... Like Hot Topic, but not sucky.
Okay, fair enough. Cartoon Network and Mondo have teamed up to release the soundtrack of the Come Along With Me, you know, the finale, on a vinyl. The vinyl will feature the original soundtrack pieces by series composer Tim Keifer. It'll feature, of course, you know, the big musical number showpiece Time Adventure, sung by former storyboard artist and Steven Universe creator Rebecca Sugar. Apparently, there's going to be also, you know, the full version of Come Along With Me and, you know, just all that stuff. It's a 23-track LP, and it'll be available on a Finn and Jake split-colored vinyl, half blue, half yellow. And, of course, it'll come with, like, an 8-page booklet as well if you want to, you know, read while you're bursting into tears listening to that big old musical number.
Yeah. It'll be shipping out in October. It's priced for $25, which is pretty good. Mondo's been putting out some pretty good quality products lately, and yeah, there is a good track listing on here, including the main title, which has the Will Smith feature on it.
Yeah, that new version of what? Like the theme song? The one about Shermie and Beth? The pup princess?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Will Smith? Wait, that was Willow Smith?
Yeah.
Apparently so.
Okay, I know that.
Well, now you know. Too late to know, of course. Because it's been a week.
Yeah.
But let's keep rolling on this train of, you know, special vinyl releases. One that's a much huger edition, and of course, Alex will take the wheel here.
Yeah, so it looks as though we have a bit of an annualized schedule for Metallica's big, grand, remastered deluxe box sets. About November every year, that seems like a good pace. And we have the next one coming out later in November. This time, a box set for And Justice For All. Yeah! Woo. Great album. Yeah, of course, if you can't afford to this $200 box set, which I'll talk about in a moment, you have cheaper options. You have a standard CD, a standard double vinyl, a cassette for, you know, those cassette hipsters out there.
Nerds!
And there will also be a 3-CD expanded edition, which has some snippets from the deluxe box set in a more condensed package. And of course, there will also be DRM-free digital versions of the album and the audio contents of the deluxe box set. But if you want the big thing, like, you know, I do, which I still got because I Master of Puppets box set, time to take a gander at what's inside. It's a lot. So along with a set of patches, a tour laminate, a Pusshead print, which is the guy who's been doing a lot of art for Metallica, of course, a lyric folder and all sorts of sheets, and a 120-page hardcover book, as is typical of these sets.
Right.
We have a lot to unbox here. So we have And Justice For All remastered, which is just, you know, cleaned up, not remixed. That's very important when talking about this album. It's not going to be a remix. It's just going to be, you know, cleaned up. Might want to do some tweaking on your stereo if you want to hear some bass on there.
Oh, man. Why? I just want bass on this album. Is that too hard?
Well, you know, there are purists out there who don't want them to Lucas the whole thing up.
Fuck you, I want bass.
Well, get the Rock Band stems. That's all I gotta say. Do your own remaster. But yeah, this will come on for us, a double vinyl set. Very nice. There will also be a 10-inch picture disc replica of the one single with a live B-side. And here's what got me interested. A triple vinyl set of the Seattle 89 concert. The one from Live Shit, Binge, and Purge. The one every Metallica fan says is the greatest Metallica concert ever.
Mm.
And interestingly enough, this is actually being remixed by Greg Feidelman, which, if you listen to that original audio, there is audience noise everywhere. I mean everywhere. It never stops. So this is kind of a welcomed change-up.
I mean, they're just all excited to be there, and they really have to let you know.
Yeah. First time on vinyl, too. That's pretty nice. And in the CD department, we have the album, obviously. A CD of magazine and radio interviews. Two CDs worth of riffs, jams, and demos. A CD of rough mixes. A two CD set from a live concert in West Hollywood, California. Plus some B-sides, which were included on some of the singles. As well as a very, very rare release called the 6.5-year anniversary EP.
Mmm.
Yeah. There's also going to be another 2CD set of their concert at the Hammersmith Odeon in London, along with some bonus radio edits of Eye of the Beholder, One, and Injustice for All, available commercially for the first time ever. Also a 2CD set of their concert in Long Beach, California, plus more, which would be three tracks from the UIC Pavilion in Chicago, Illinois. On the DVD side of things, we have something called Am Camcorders for All, which is just unreleased footage shot on Lars's camcorder, because you know the guy has a freaking library of unreleased stuff in his basement.
Hmm.
Along with, for the second time on DVD, the complete 2-of-1 video, with a bonus of one at the 1989 Grammy Awards, and what they're calling one B-roll, which I would assume was just B-roll footage of the video shoot.
Mm.
The second DVD is a previously unreleased concert from the Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View, California. The third DVD, unreleased fan shot footage from their concert in Newark, Delaware. The fourth DVD, the Much Music documentary Justice on Wheels, a set of interviews by Masahito, and some raw live footage of their concerts in Philadelphia, Troy, and Hamilton, Ontario. This is quite the interesting collection of rarities in here, as is the case of some of the later stuff. Although I will say, I was hoping that they would include a certain concert that was recorded in Austin, Texas from February 1989 that they have for free on their website, so we'll give it the vinyl treatment. But I suppose that was taken out in favor of giving the Seattle concert the vinyl treatment, which I'm okay with that. I'm cool with that. And I definitely want to pick this up. There is just so much goodness in here, and I really want to hear how this remix of the Seattle concert turns out, and how well this remaster, as they call it, of the album proper sounds in comparison to, well, my original CD copy. I want to know just what exactly they tweaked, considering this is a remix. It's just a cleanup job.
I have basically nothing of value to add to any of that. Other than, anyone want to give me $200?
And now we get to speculate what's going to happen with the Black Album box set. What will they contain with that?
And will that be happening next year, or will they save it for 2020?
It'll probably be next year, considering they're going to be doing this for every one of their albums.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on from that to our last topic this week. revisiting the Adult Swim singles thing, so we can actually talk about the, well, portion of the lineup that we have here. See, as you remember, last year, King Adamus DeMarco just unveiled a full list of 52 acts for 52 weeks. But obviously, a lot of things got shuffled around, stuff got added, you know, stuff got, like, you know, wasn't able to make it. You know the whole thing by now. I even have it explicitly documented in a document. So, of course, to ensure some more ambiguity and perhaps more accuracy, he's decided to unveil just the first wave of this lineup here. And, of course, there's going to be more to be announced, you know, as the weeks go on. So, let's just go through this here. This is in alphabetical order. First up, we have, you know, post-punk slash gospel act Algiers. Which, you know, kind of like, I like Algiers. They're basically a Zeal and Ardor minus the metal parts. It's all sounds pretty good. From electronic producer Autocray, we got a track coming from them pretty soon. Bjarki, I probably should have looked up some of this stuff beforehand. I have no idea who Bjarki is. But we got another one from Chad Van Galen, you know, last year, Adult Swim Festival, now this. Of course, Clams Casino getting in on all this.
Hey.
Comtruz. Oh, hey, Dawn, there you are.
Yep, Dawn again. And guess what? I think to check her premiere next week as well, because promos were saying that shit. You saw them.
Oh, yeah.
On Adult Swim.
We'll keep an eye out on that. There's going to be a track from Eight Bells, which I believe is a ghostly act. I'm trying to remember. I could be remembering wrong.
There's a lot of ghostly acts here.
There's Gatekeeper. Haram, Hachi, ooh, High on Fire, woo, Integrity, yeah, ooh, and some Inter Arma. I think that might be a typo. Like, here it's listed as Intra Arma, but we know it's Inter Arma. Ooh, that's a nice string of three metal acts, conveniently alphabeticalized. We have new tracks coming from J-Som, Negative Gemini, Nina Cherry, Nidia, Nocturnal Sunshine, Noisem, who is apparently a metal act that I haven't heard of yet, Oathbreaker, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, kind of this weird mix of, like, hardcore punk and black metal. They have an album or two I like. Big Destroyer, yes!
Very nice.
Hang on, I gotta take a sip of water. That excitement just killed my vocal cords. Anyway, Rival Consoles. We got a new one from Saba. We got a new track from Shigeto. You know, if you want more ghostly mix. We got some Sound of Sarahs coming along. Very nice. Some Speedy Ortiz as well. And last but not least, War on Women, which I also believe is a metal act of some kind. So, yeah, this is obviously, you know, hitting up a lot of stuff. I'm surprised, like, in this I counted, like, about 6 or 7 metal acts alone. And more to be announced? Could we be getting more proportionate metal representation? Will there be a Mastodon track? What exactly is Flying Lotus and Run the Jewels going to do on this? Because you know they're going to show up.
Mm. Yes.
And hey, maybe we might get that Migos track that never happened.
Oh, no. Why do you have to say these things, Alex?
And it could be another Kitty track. I mean, she is cooking. I mean, she's doing something with what's his name? I know him. Her doing some project soon. It might do some things because they made a song about it. But yeah, anyway, I expect something from her.
Yeah, obviously. Perhaps maybe some new Danny Brown. You know, maybe he'll release one of those tracks that he's apparently been streaming over on Twitch.
Saving all the good
rap music while he fanboys about wanting to bang the teacher from Persona 5. I still need to play that
game. Which, by watching anime, I don't blame him.
Oh, I'm sure we all know. We all know. I've seen the clips. We all know. But, yeah, I am very curious and excited to know more. You could just picture that one scene from Starship Troopers. You know the one. But, yeah, we'll just have to keep you all in the loop when more announcements come. But, of course, that finishes up all the main news stuff. And so we have one last thing to take care of here, and that is the new album releases for September 14th, 2018. Starting right at the top, post-hardcore titans Thrice come back with their newest album, Palms. We have a new album from rapper Sixlack called East Atlanta Love Letter. Death metal titans Deicide released their latest Waste of Time, Overtures of Blasphemy. Speaking of Waste of Time, Good Charlotte are apparently still a thing, and they have a new album called Generation RX.
Gross. Get it? Go away.
Okay.
God, I can feel my throat hurting just saying it. We have a new album from Carrie Underwood with Cry Pretty. A new project from Mr. David Guetta called Seven. And I don't care if I pronounce it wrong. It's called Doing It On Purpose. Fuck you. And last but certainly not least, we have the newest EP from producer Aphex Twin called Collapse. Make sure to wear, like, eye protection. It's probably going to hurt to, like, listen to that album visually. We saw the video.
Yeah. My head still hurts from it.
And so with all that out of the way, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, or of Azure, but I probably won't be on as frequently because, you know, I'm working again. So, just keep that in mind.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, MechTavern Media, even though I'm barely on there as well because I don't know, I'm lazy at that shit. And also my site, mine, HyperOne at HyperOne.wordpress.com. So yeah, I did a movie review this past week. And yes, it's on the same movie I talked about last week, The After Party. You know, the one movie with Kyle in it, which I actually did a full review of.
Yay! Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, Robert at CerebroResolution.com with questions, comments, concerns, and memes and shit. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Sewer Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always notified when new episodes go up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SewerRezo, like us on Facebook, visit us at SewerResolution.com, and find this podcast on DecibelBoost.SewerResolution.com. Listen to our past episodes, and listen to Podcast ONA for anime stuff. They're probably going to talk about that whole motherfuckers thing as well.
Yeah, but there might be a bit of a delay on the next episode because, well, storms.
Right, right.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Anyway,
remember where I live.
Yeah. Be sure to keep up with our written content as well. You know, album reviews and stuff. And of course, I'm back on the anime reviewing grind for Foolie Cooley Alternative, which was a really good premiere, and it was fun watching it in English this time around. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat if you ever want to, you know, share some great food deals. Hang on. Wendy's app download. Okay, good. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us this week. Of course, be sure to join us for the next main episode. And, until next time... Seriously, what the fuck is with that fucking Johnny kid with the big head? What the fuck?
Memes.
I don't know the shit.